That last one's good. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 16 today. The chapter I told y'all we weren't going to talk about, we're going to talk about. You know, it's just to give you a little insight into the thought process here. You know, we've been working through 1 Corinthians for a while now, which has been really awesome, but it's predictable, you know, because every week I know where I'm going. And so I just have to dig into the text and figure out how we're going to, you know, how we're going to unpack, you know, different passages and texts and kind of work through that. And I planned on doing something like that for Father's Day, but then this is something that God's been kind of showing me and helping me understand for the last several weeks. So I thought it was a good fit for Father's Day. So here we go. If it's bad, I'm sorry. But for today, I thought we could look at a couple of short verses from 1 Corinthians 16. They're toward the end of the chapter where Paul is giving his friends in Corinth some last-minute instructions, and he kind of steps away from addressing his brothers and his sisters, his church family as a whole, and he focuses his words for his brothers in Christ, for the men of the church. He says in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 16, "Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." It's funny, that phrase there, "act like men," comes from one Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's pretty long, but it's a verb, and it means to show others that you're a man, to be brave, to act manly. And this is the only place in the whole New Testament where that word is used, but it's all over the Old Testament. If you were a reader of the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which many first century believers were, in fact, when the New Testament writers quote from the Old Testament, it's almost always from the Greek translation. So if you're familiar with that translation, you knew what that phrase meant. It meant you need to stand firm in the faith. You need to be strong. You need to act like a man. And ladies, some of you might be wondering what exactly it means to act like a man. So I got a few examples of what that means. If you're a man, the ideal length of your phone conversation is somewhere between 30 and 45 seconds. And ladies, always remember, if you can say it in a text, put it in a text. Number two, the reason men flip through the channels so much is because we don't really care what's on TV. We want to know what else is on TV. What am I missing? We're constantly exploring. If you're a man, it doesn't matter if the vacation is 2 days long or 2 weeks long. You get one suitcase. One. Figure it out. If a guy's at a 4th of July barbecue and another guy shows up wearing the same outfit, not only does he not get mad, but there's a good chance he's going to make a new friend. Plus, if this is the outfit, he's making a friend for life. That's a lifelong bond. But seriously, for guys like Paul, who grew up learning about Israel's founding fathers and the men who brought her into prominence, they were raised with stories of strong, brave men. Men like Moses and Joshua, who brought Israel out of a land of slavery into a land of promise. They learned about King David and his mighty men of valor. They learned what faithful courage looked like for men like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. These were men who stood firm in the faith. Men who were strong, who acted like men. Now this phrase, "act like a man," shows up over 20 times in the Old Testament. 20 times. But it gets translated a couple different ways. One of the more well-known ways it gets translated is "be strong and courageous." The mighty Joshua is charged multiple times in Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1 to act like a man and be strong. In verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31, Moses tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is Yahweh your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." In verse 23, God Himself is commissioning Joshua as Israel's new leader, and He tells him, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." In Joshua chapter 1, after Moses dies, God tells Joshua again, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." And right before Joshua addresses his generals as their commanding officer for the first time, God reminds him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go." God needed Joshua to act like a man, not so Joshua could grab some glory for himself, but so he could have good success wherever he led God's people and success in whatever he led them to do. Because Joshua's success was their success. And by acting like a man, Joshua would not only have the people's loyalty, he would also have their hearts. And he needed their hearts. Because loyalty only gets you so far. It only lasts so long. When those bullets start flying and things get really dark, loyalty can fail. But love usually holds. Love will usually last. And if Joshua was going to lead God's people into the land of promise, he needed a heart-level devotion, not just a mind-level loyalty. Because they weren't going in as squatters or even as refugees. They were going in as conquerors. This was not going to be easy. Joshua was Israel's political and her military leader. So if he fails to be strong, if he fails to be courageous, if he fails to act like a man, there's a good chance Israel has come all this way just to be slaves again. This was an enormous mission that Joshua was asking Israel to take on. It was a mission they would absolutely fail without God's help. So God reminds Joshua that he will be with him wherever he goes. And y'all, God makes that same promise to his people today. That has not changed. Moses promised Joshua that God would never leave him or forsake him. That's Deuteronomy 31. And the writer of Hebrews takes that promise that Moses made to Joshua and he applies it to all of God's people in every generation. That's in Hebrews 13. And guys, we need to understand that we don't act like men so that God will be with us wherever we go. Because Jesus has already promised that He will always be with us. He said in John 10 that His sheep hear His voice, and He knows them and they follow Him. He said, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That's how we're able to act like men, because He is with us wherever we go. And a big part of us acting like men, according to Paul, is that we let all that we do be done in love. So that excellent way Paul talked about in chapter 13, it keeps hanging around. And if I'm being honest, Paul kind of loses me a little there. Because he's been telling us to be strong and to be brave, to act like men. It gets you riled up. You're like, yeah! Then he says, let all you do be done in love. No, you had me, Paul. You had me, and you lost me. I thought we were going to war. Because us guys, we want to slay the dragon, right? We don't want to talk about feelings. Well, the good thing is, I don't think Paul's asking us to talk about feelings, which is good. Which is good, because that's not our jam, is it, guys? I think what Paul means is that we're supposed to be governed by love. It's supposed to be our motivation. Dads, we love our families, right? We love our wives and kids, these little humans that God has placed under our protection. They are the reason we hunt and kill the dragon, right? It's what G.K. Chesterton wrote. A true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. That is so true. If you're a dad, you know this. Even the most gentle, peaceful dude will not hesitate to throat punch somebody who threatens his child. It's instinctive. So being governed by love should never make a man feel weak. Instead, it should help us harness our strength and focus it where it needs to be, because all men need a battle to fight. We just do. Men need purpose. A man without purpose is lazy, he's disconnected from the people in his life, and he's really a danger to himself. Paul tells men that they need to stand firm. They need to hold that line, because we are called to contend for the faith. In other words, we're meant to do battle in the spiritual places, slaying those unseen dragons, because we're not Joshua and the Israelites. Okay, our enemies are not Canaanites. They're not the giant Nephilim. Our enemies are the rulers and authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness. They're the forces of evil in the supernatural world, forces that often influence the natural world. So we may not send bullets downrange or drop bombs on targets, but our fight is just as real, guys. It's just as real. In fact, the stakes of our battles are even higher, because we're not fighting for land or treasure. We're fighting for truth. We're fighting for souls. You know, when we look at the current state of our country and we learn about the dangerous roads that our leaders are leading us down, a lot of us see that and instinctively we recognize that as evil. We assume they're evil, because these decisions being made are in direct opposition to human flourishing. But this isn't new. This is generations in the making. If you look at human history, we're pretty much the only species that intentionally works against our own best interest. You ever notice that? Sharks don't do that. Caterpillars don't do that. We do that. Why do we do that? Because we are the only part of the natural world that is actively influenced by the supernatural world. We look at so many of our elected officials, people in positions of power all around the world, and we see the decisions they're making, how reckless they're being with their words, how unconcerned they seem to be about the danger that they put other people's sons and daughters in. And it makes us angry. It should. And we think these people have to be evil, because nobody's that stupid. But y'all, they're not evil. They're weak. They're weak. And weak people are easily influenced and controlled by the forces of evil. So the reason these decisions being made by these weak people seem to be anti-human is because they are. They absolutely are 100%. Because that weak human did not make that decision. The evil power that's controlling them and manipulating them and influencing them, they made that decision. That weak human was just a vessel that carried it into the light. You ever heard about a dog committing suicide? How about a hamster? They don't do that, but people do. I've lost several friends over the years to suicide. We do that because people are influenced by cosmic powers. Weak people are influenced by the forces of evil in the supernatural world. Guys, we don't want to be weak. We can't afford to be weak. We need to be strong. We need to act like men. And it's not just for our own sakes, but it's for the sake of the people that God has placed under our protection. Our wives, our children, our grandchildren, the communities we live in, the neighbors we have, our coworkers, our classmates, everyone. We have to be strong for them because, men, we have the watch. We have this watch, and we are to be watchful, Paul says. We're to stand firm in the faith, be strong, and act like men. Now, the opposite of that is to stay distracted, to be soft in our convictions and loose with our standards, to be weak and vulnerable to evil influences. And guys, there is no third option. There's just not. We're either striving to be strong or we're settling to be weak. And being strong is a choice that we have to make every single day. We need to understand that if we don't intentionally choose strong, then we are unintentionally choosing weak. Until we get to the point where the weak, where the evil just chooses us. And where weak men lead, hard times follow. If that's not painfully obvious to everyone right now, I don't know, I can't explain it any better. But y'all, this didn't start in 2020, okay? But you know what did happen in 2020? It was exposed. The dark power showed its hand. Evil overreached for the first time in decades. Because for so long, darkness was satisfied to remain in the dark. It was happy and content working behind the scenes, manipulating, influencing, pushing culture in specific directions. But 4 years ago, evil did what evil does. It became unsatisfied. It became greedy. It wanted what was not for it to have. And like Lucifer in the garden, it wanted to strike a death blow to God's human family. So it activated these weak men and women who it had been grooming for decades. People in all kinds of powerful positions, people established in those positions, whether we're talking military, government, technology, pharmaceutical drug companies, the healthcare industry, the media, whatever, all of it came together, marching upon humanity because of weak men and weak women who were not watchful, they did not stand firm, and they were not strong. Did y'all know that because of the COVID lockdowns and the restrictions that were implemented because of them, that over 30 million people either lost their jobs or were forced to permanently close down their businesses? So in 1 year, over a third of all American jobs were lost. Y'all, that is anti-human. Did y'all know that in today's military, enlisted soldiers who lose rifles at shooting ranges are punished more severely than generals who lose wars? And they wonder why reenlistments are at an all-time low. Pharmaceutical companies who push drugs onto consumers that they know are dangerous so they can continue to make record profits while being shielded from litigation by the weak lawmakers who empower them. Not only does that not contribute to human flourishing, it actively works against it because it's anti-human. And the reason evil is so anti-human is because God is pro-human. God loves humanity. We are the crown jewel of the natural world because we are made in God's image. Evil hates that, despises that. We are supposed to represent God here on earth, caring for the planet, caring for each other, working for the greater good, helping to make the whole world into the image of Eden. Eden was the goal. It's always been the goal. But Eden, as an ideal, is only possible when men are watchful, when they stand firm, when they are strong, and they are brave. Weak men will not stand in God's good garden. It's why when Adam became weak, he was forced to leave. He was cast out. He wasn't watchful, or he'd have protected his wife. He wasn't firm, or he never would have taken what wasn't his to have. He wasn't strong. He became weak, and the consequences of his choice brought death into the human story. It had never been there before. So, dads, let me encourage all of us. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Be strong and courageous. Not because you are, but because your Jesus is with you wherever you go. And guys, if we're going to stand firm, we need to stand together. Godly men are built. They're not born. If you know a dad or a husband or a single guy who is not supported by godly men, you need to reach out to him. You really do. We need to bring them in and build them up. Because y'all, I'm sorry, our world is growing darker and more godless, and no election is going to fix that. It's just not. These wheels were put in motion a very long time ago. I believe that we are nearing the end of the human story. I really do. But the reason I'm not overly concerned is because I also believe this. These things are supposed to happen, y'all. They're not surprises. They didn't catch God off guard. These aren't sneak attacks. They're not unforeseen conflicts. Y'all, our enemy gets a say. He does. But God has the final say. And he's already decreed it. And our enemy knows that. So God doesn't need us to rise up and push back the enemy. He just needs us to stand firm. Hold the line. That's what he needs us to do. And not just for ourselves, but for everyone. For everyone. And guys, we really need to start taking these things seriously. Because our enemy is certainly taking these things seriously. He is in his final surge, trying to inflict as much pain and punishment on humanity as he can. And he's using weak men and weak women to do that. So stand firm, be strong, act like men, because Jesus is with us wherever we go. Let me pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you for your word, which I don't know why it still surprises us how accurate it is and how truthful and honest it is. Lord, you've warned about difficult days, and so many of us have enjoyed a lot of prosperous days. We haven't seen real conflict. And whether it comes tomorrow, next week, next year, I don't know, God, but I know it's coming because your word says it's coming. And these are the days we should spend cultivating our relationship with you, cultivating our relationship with our families and our communities. We should be building strength. We should be learning to stand firm. And I pray, God, that we would take that as our mission, as the op that you've given us, Lord, to stand strong, to stand firm, to be courageous, to act like men. Lord, help us to be the protectors and providers, the confidants. Help us to be the warriors of old. Help us to follow Jesus as closely as we can, seeking his forgiveness, repenting of our sins, because we're going to fail. We're going to do things wrong. But that doesn't mean you stop loving us. That doesn't mean you love us any less. And I pray that we would be governed by love. Father, that we would seek the good of those around us. We'd be willing to sacrifice our comforts and convenience to make sure that they're okay. We would seek their good, and we would honor you in all things. Please receive this song as we sing to you, God, as an offering to you. We love you. We thank you for loving us first. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.